Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message.
It's kind of something beautiful as the rain started to let up and you saw the sun shine through, isn't it? My hope this morning is as we continue in our study through the Psalms of Ascent that God would continue to encourage and convict and fortify our spirits this morning. We're going to be continuing, if you will, to go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 121. This is actually the second song in a 15-song playlist, if you will, that God gave to the Israelites that were to be sung as they made the journey from their home to the temple three times a year, that God established these festivals of remembrance of his faithfulness, that people would make the journey, leave the everyday life, and go to Jerusalem, to the highest point in all of Palestine, to the city of God, where his presence dwelt in the temple, and go to meet with God. This is what the Psalms of Ascent were meant to do. And our journey is much the same, that we live a life lived upward toward God, surrendering to him, in that when we think about it, the way the scripture talks about it for us is we're immigrants, we're aliens, we're sojourners in this world, that we want a better home, a better land, a better country, and with our eyes fixed on Christ that is set before us. The soundboard actually fell. Are we good? Okay, we're good. Isn't this real life, right? Like, we can pretend, we can come to church and have like a very organized, nice thing. But in reality, this is what all of our lives look like when we leave here, right? Nothing goes as expected. This is the way. And I really think, like, my hope, as crazy as it all is and with the rain and that, so this is part of the journey. This is part of just real life. In how we pursue God, in the midst of the ups and downs, in the midst of the valleys, in the midst of the mountaintops, keeping our eyes fixed on Christ. And even in the midst of all this, like, my first question was, as you journey through life, are you someone who tends to ask for help or just try to find your own way? You know what I mean? Like with directions. My kids get upset with me because we will wander up and down the aisles of Home Depot, because I'm determined if somebody else knows where it is, I can find it myself, right? And then they get frustrated, like, just ask somebody, Dad, right? We can get in and out of here much faster. But I kind of like seeing everything too, right? There might be something I need that I forgot about. But sometimes we don't like asking for help. Sometimes it's more serious than just stopping to ask for directions, right? Like in our marriages, maybe you're fighting, you're not getting along, you can't seem to resolve your own issues, but you figure, hey, we're just not going to tell anybody. We don't need to let anybody else know what kind of craziness happens inside of our house. We'll just keep doing the same thing and hope it turns out different, right? Until it gets so bad that you have to let somebody in. The same is true in personal struggles. And we've all been there. The anxiety, the depression, the lust, the loneliness, the greed, the gluttony, the things that we give ourselves to, but we just say, I'm just gonna try harder this week, God. I'm sorry, but let me try harder. I don't want to have to tell anybody how I'm struggling. I'll just figure it out myself. Unfortunately, this is the human condition. And one of the first things we're gonna see in today's psalm is this cry for help, to lift our eyes above our circumstances and to look to God. that this song today, it's for the anxious. It's to the one who is afraid. When all the voices of fear and accusation come rushing in, the question is, where do we look? Where do we fix our eyes? Will we just try to figure it out ourselves, or will we call out to God as our help? That the sermon today, in one sentence, would be this: that in our need, we rest in the powerful arms of God who guards us forever. Like each of these parts we're going to go through, that in our need, we find our rest in the powerful arms of God who guards us forever. And so if you will, hopefully you have the scripture there so that we can read together. You can use the app in there, so we're all reading from the same translation, or if you have the ESV. And here's what I want to do. There's something unique about this psalm that nobody really knows why. The first two verses are in first person. So you're going to see that it says, the singer. I'm going to read these. I'm not going to sing them. Yeah, no. They're not going to be sung. But I'm going to say them. And then what I want you to hear is then it moves to the third person. And I want you to feel this transition in the psalm. And I believe it's like the person who's walking through life, crying out these first two verses. And then the other is this chorus of a community that has come alongside this individual to encourage them, to remind him of why this is important. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the first two. This is going to be side number one. I'm going to need you guys to be loud. This is going to be side number two. And then together, we'll do the last two verses. So if you're kind of reading in your Bible, these go in pairs of how this psalm is written. So beginning in verse one, I'll begin. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And all together, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore. Look at how this psalm begins. I lift my eyes. Where does my help come from? See, there's this cry of help of where it begins. The first step is that we come to God in a position of need. Like, this is what pastors are going to say. This is what counselors are going to say. If you're here just assuming you have everything together, you don't need God, you don't need anybody else's help, this song is not for you. This psalm is for the person who has come to the end, who has said, I need help. I don't have it all figured out. I've come to the end of my own resources. My own strength was not sufficient. My needs are greater than my own ability. And we come to God and we cry out for help. Josh Moody, in his book, Journey to Joy, said that the idea that you can always fix everything yourself has caused the breakdown of more marriages, the heartbreak of more people, and the disaster of more businesses than perhaps any other idea on the face of the planet. Pride might be the first casualty of failure, but pride is also failure's common cause. Proverbs 16:18 said, pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. But as important as it is that our hearts be in a place where we ask for help, where does my help come from? Equally as important is also, where do we look for our help? This is what this psalm is getting into. Where do we look for our hope? This is what's crying out. Where does my hope come from? And this would be my question this morning. If you find yourself in a place of need this morning, and I pray you do, I pray you see your need, my next question would be, where are you looking for your hope? And this is exactly what this passage is getting into. When you look at verse 1, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? There's two schools of thought here. What are the hills that are being referred to in this passage? See, some say, because remember, this was on the journey to Jerusalem. Some say this was one on the pathway. There were mountaintops along the journey. And on those mountaintops is where you had idol worship, shrines carved by human hands of to Baal, Ashtoreth. This would have been a 2 to 3 day journey, about 60 to 80 miles. It's about 55 miles from here. If we were to walk together from here to Cocoa Beach, that's 55 miles. It's just a little bit further than that to kind of put it in your mind that we'd be walking. It would take about 2 or 3 days, and you're going to have elevations and descents and ascents. And on those mountains, there were sites there. And so imagine, like, the heat is bearing down. If we're going to walk this afternoon, right, and the sun is bearing down, your feet begin to hurt. Maybe you begin to feel a little bit sorry for yourself. You've walked too far to turn back now, but you're here. It's hard. You're tired. And you look up, and you see a grove of trees up on a hill. You see people worshiping the god of Baal for rain to fall. You see sacred prostitutes there gathering that just maybe a little bit of temporary comfort on the road. Maybe you say no initially for the hours, but at this time when this psalm was written, dotted along the hillsides were false worship to the Canaanite gods. And you're passing up and you're singing out, I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come from? Does my help come from there? Does my help come from these false prophets, from these false gods? No, my help does not come from there. My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. And so you keep walking. So you keep pressing forward, that you don't stop and pause to place your hope in these false things, because where we look for our hope is important. I looked up this morning to say, what hope do people have for the future? And I found this article that in 2018, they had surveyed 105 experts that were considered experts about what is their hope for the future. The number one answer was young people. If you will, imagine on the hillside, a temple to the next generation. Maybe this next generation is going to figure it out. Maybe this next generation is going to do what no generation before has done. Let's put our hope there. Others began to put their hope in the temple of technology, saying technology can bring us together, enhance our relationships, and connect us, because look how well that has worked online, right? There's so much unity and so much just singularity of thought. I pray that you see that dripping in sarcasm, right? The temple of technology. There's a temple of equality and social justice. That, oh, if we just get along, let's put our hope there. There's the temple of intellect. There's the temple of human ingenuity, the temple of human kindness and compassion. All of these were the top six reasons of what people were placing their hope for in the future from experts. And if we're not careful, the danger is that as we journey in obedience with God, we begin to just pull off to the side and begin to place our hope and look to these areas for our help. But we are called to lift our eyes from the hopelessness and the hurts that surround us, to say, no, we will not pause. We will not stop. Our help does not come from the idols that sit on the hills. Our help comes from the Lord. So there's some that when the psalmist is saying, I lift my eyes up to the hills, where does my help come from? That say it's on the journey. There's others who say that this psalm is really saying, no, it's as you're approaching the city of God. You've climbed that final hill, and in the distance, you see the mountain of God. You see that this is where God is. You see that this is the goal. It's in sight now. And I lift my eyes up to the hill, and I say, where does my help come from? And there it is. And it cries out, my help comes from the Lord, because he is maker of heaven and earth. And it's like we ask ourselves one more time in the long journey of faith when we say, how much longer? And we become like a child, don't we? We're like, how much longer do I need to labor forth in obedience? How hard will the journey be? What other unexpected turns await us in the future? And we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, and then we see it. We say, my help comes from the Lord. He made heaven and earth. See, the help doesn't come from the mountain. It doesn't come from false gods made by human hands or by our own efforts or ingenuity or kindness or compassion. Our help comes from the Lord. It comes from Him. This psalm, it's a psalm of providence. It means that it is God guarding and keeping us. He's looking out over us. And here's the thing. We could, wrongly so, just stop there and say, that's the moral of the story. Trust in God. Let's pray. But it kind of feels like that would be oversimplistic, minimalistic. What does that mean? How do I do that? How do I take these hurts and these pains and these questions, and how do I trust in God in the midst of this? Who is He in relationship to my pain? And this is where the psalm continues. This psalm, it's actually written like a staircase. So if we were to read this in the Hebrew, the last word of one line becomes the first word of the next. So where, like, from where comes my help? Help comes from the Lord. Right? It says, He keeps Israel, my keeper, that He would guard your life, my guardian. That the way this is written, the psalm itself is one of ascent. It is one characteristic of who God is and why we look to Him for our help that ascends to the next and to the next. And then there's a common thread that is connecting all of these steps. And it's that God is our guardian, that He is watching over us. I believe it's like six times that the word in the ESV that you'll see is to keep, that He is our keeper. It literally means He is our guardian, that He is watching over us. He is keeping us. This is in whom we trust. And so I want to highlight the four things that we see in this passage of who God is, that the call is to admit our need. The call is to say that our help comes from the Lord, but who is He? How do we go to Him in our need? And the very first one that we see is that our God, He is a powerful guardian. That we see this in verse 2, that my help comes from the Lord. He is maker of heaven and earth. But when we say, where does my help come from? What this is really saying, I love looking at the original meaning of these words to see its fullness. And so in each of these, I want to look at our need and who God is and how He meets that. Because see, in our need, we feel vulnerable. We feel powerless, without strength, without purpose, without contribution. We can feel overwhelmed, underperforming, weak, tired. We become weary on the road of faith. This is our need. Where does my help come from? And it talks about God being our powerful, powerful guardian. It is in the name of Yahweh. You'll see, like in the scripture there, it's all capital letters. This is the holiest name of God. This is in whom we trust. There is power in the name of our God, that He made the heavens and the earth. By the power of His word, He separated the land from the sky. By the power of His word, He called trees and grass to sprout from the ground. From the power of His spoken words, birds filled the air and fish filled the waters. It was by His word. And now this powerful God who spoke everything into creation now turns His power to protection of you. Not against you, but for you. This is the hope. In the mountain of God, there is a cleft into which we hide, into which we have protection. I see it as the strong yet tender embrace of a father. right? That a child who has skinned their knee and they're hurting, who do they run to? The mom, the dad. It is the embrace. It is the strength and tenderness of love, where you feel safe, where in your vulnerability you are comforted. Where does our help come from? It is into the powerful, loving arms of God. He is our guardian. It is in Him that we find comfort. This is why we look to God for our help. But it goes on in verses 3 and 4 that our God, He is a watchful guardian. Notice what it says, that He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I mean, do you ever feel this, that in the journey of faith, like, what if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I get tripped up? What if I begin to shake with fear? What if I feel like I can't keep going? What if at night, when the depression hits, when the night terrors begin and I find myself once again fearful, can I still run to God? Can I still be comforted in His arms? What if I mess up? Can I still rest in that powerful tenderness? And this is what it's saying as we look through this, that who God is, the God in whom we trust, watches over us. That God, our guardian, He stands watch over us. That we may slip, but we will not fall. And that God does not sleep. He doesn't slumber. His eyes don't get heavy with weariness. Like, I remember one of my favorite memories as a child is when I was sick or when I was scared. I remember I would go to my mom, and there was this rocking chair out in the living room. And it was this old green rocking chair. And I would just grab my blanket, sit in her lap, and she would rock me. And it squeaked like as it rocked. And I remember feeling safe and comforted there. This is the picture that it's saying, that God watches over us. It's like as you sleep, as you're vulnerable, as you're in your own exhaustion, God is like there at the foot of your bed, standing guard over you. This is the image. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. It's like there's this barrier of protection that as you look to Him, He is there. He is our watchful guardian. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. And this is why when it comes to, I lift my eyes up to the hills, it's like, is the psalmist talking about the false gods? Is he talking about the city of God? I don't think it's either or. I think it's both and. And one of the reasons is right here, because I think this is alluding to, do you remember the story with Elijah? When he was battling the prophets of Baal, and they was like, okay, you pray to your false god, and then I'm going to pray to my god. And there's hundreds of these false prophets, and they're praying for fire to fall from heaven, and Elijah begins to mock them. Like, maybe your god's sleeping. Like, wake him up. Get a little bit louder. Maybe he's in the bathroom. Get his attention, right? And it doesn't matter what they do. Baal cannot respond. And then Elijah prays and fire falls from heaven instantly and consumes everything. It's that kind of imagery. That it's like, where does our help come from? Our God doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He hasn't lost track of you. You haven't wandered too far off. He keeps watch. He presses near. This is who our God is. That He is our watchful guardian. But He's also that protective guardian. Look at verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. Again, now that word keeper is the guardian to watch over. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. See, the need here is when you feel vulnerable. That the idea here of why it's saying shade on your right hand is because the soldier would carry the shield in the left. This meant that your right side was often exposed in battle. And where we feel exposed, where we feel most vulnerable, where we can feel alone and isolated, and by ourselves as we go through life? Like, let that sink in, because I feel like we've been there, right? When we think of the quarantine and being in the home and being separated even from community and friends and family, like, we feel that sense of that isolation and the feelings that that brought. And what this is saying is that God is a protective shield. He is a shade. It's the shadow of the Almighty. Is that shade and shadow means the same thing. It's the same word that we would find in Psalm 17 of we are hidden beneath the shadow of his wings. That Psalm 57, we take refuge in the shadow of his wings. It is the covering of God. It is his protective care as our guardian, covering us. And we have the completeness of what this means, both physically and spiritually, because notice what it talks about with the sun. That the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. See, the sun, well, we get that in Florida, right? Dehydration, sunstroke, like, I don't want to be outside in the afternoon. I get why we would need shade in the sun. It's physically exhausting. It drains us physically. To be in the shade from the sun is protection. But you might be like, why do we need shade from the moon? It's not like the moon's that bright, right? But in the ancient world, the light of the moon was, like in French, we get it's la lune. But that's where we get the word lunacy, lunatic. The moon, the light of the moon was one of like the mental side of this is where you lose your mind. You have this sense of God is protecting us both physically from the sun and mentally from the moon. There's also this sense of totality of God's protection from morning to evening, night to day, throughout the entirety of it. God's protective care is what's being said. It's not just a little bit of protection. It is an absolute, complete protection, that he is our guardian. This is why we look to him for our help. It's not just to say, trust in God, be done. It's like, no, he is powerful. No, he is caring. He is protecting. And it is by his strength that we will persevere to the end. Look at 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. Again, that word keep. He will guard you from all evil. He will guard your life. The Lord will keep. You're going out and you're coming in from this time forth forevermore. See, because I don't know where you're at this morning. For some, at a certain point, you might get like, I'm tired. Like, can I continue? I feel weak. I feel like I'm stuck on the side of the road. Like my heart has broken down and I can't move. Like, is God just going to leave me behind? Or can I trust in him? Will he protect? That there can be a fear that you may say like, hey, if I run this race of faith, but I stumble just before the finish line, maybe I should just give up. Like, do I keep pressing in? And the hope in this passage, what we see is that it is God who keeps us. It is God who fortifies us. It's God who it says will keep you from all evil, that he will keep your life. He's going to keep you when you go out and when you come in, from now throughout all of eternity, that God is your persevering guardian, that he watches over you, that when we trust and rest in him, this is who he is. That he is our hope. He is our protection. He is our power. And here's the thing. It is not saying the danger that some may take out of this psalm is that nothing bad will happen. Trust in Jesus, and then you're never going to stumble. Trust in Jesus, and no harm's ever going to come. Trust in Jesus, and everything's going to be better. Right? That is not what this psalm is saying. And in fact, Jesus has told us the exact opposite. Right? Jesus has told us in Mark chapter 8 that if anyone wishes to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. in Matthew 24, it says that they will deliver you to tribulation. This is what Jesus is saying to the disciples. Like, this is what to expect. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and they're going to kill you, and you will be hated among all nations because of my name. That because of the name of Jesus, people will hate you, will despise you, will kill you. And it's like, how do we reconcile these things, right? He just said he's going to watch over us physically, mentally. Like, does this mean that nothing bad's ever going to happen, or will it? And what does that mean? We're called as believers to endure hardships, to suffer hardships, to don't be disturbed by hardships that have been destined for us. Philippians chapter 1 says that we've been granted the privilege to not only believe in Jesus, but also to suffer for his sake. And so this should raise a question. How do we hold to the promises of trusting in Jesus while also knowing that there is real suffering in the journey? And I want us to hear again what this passage is saying. Because it's not saying that you're never going to come to the end of yourself, that you're never going to feel weak, that you're never going to feel vulnerable. But in these moments, to see who God is, this is the faithfulness of the promise, that you will come to an end of yourself. God will allow you to come to the end where you do not have the strength in yourself, and in your need, you're going to cry out to God. What does this assume? That there's going to be hardships that brings you to the end of yourself. Why? So that you taste the sweetness of who God is, so that you experience his power at work. This is in his mercy that he allows this, that you will feel weak, you will feel vulnerable, you will feel desperate, and God is your powerful guardian. That you will trip. You are going to stumble. You're going to feel fear. You're going to feel concern. And you're going to know that God is your watchful guardian, that he's looking out over you, even while you sleep, even while you feel vulnerable, that he is watching over you. When you can't defend yourself, he is your defender. That when you feel the heat of the sun and you feel that your body is growing weak, and when you say, I think I'm losing my mind, like, this is hard. There are struggles in this life. I can't do this on my own. And you can't. And you look to God. He is sufficient to protect you, to strengthen you when you feel weak, to fortify you when you feel like you can't go on anymore. This is who God is. That you're going to grow weary. You're going to question your own resolve. You're going to feel weak and incapable and alone and isolated. And God is going to come alongside you as you cry out for help. I believe that it is in his mercy that he brings us to the end of himself, so that we taste the sweetness and sufficiency of God. Because he is sufficient. And so this is where I want to lead us today. In conclusion, like, how do we think through this? I want to give us some time today, now, to think about this, to process this for yourself. Like, question one would be, do you need help? Like, where are you this morning? Like, do you actually feel the need for help? Have you come this morning saying, I need more of God? Because you're aware of your own need? Or are you kind of just content trusting in what you're trusting in, going about your own strength? Where are you at this morning? Do you see the areas where God in his mercy is bringing you to the end of yourself and you're just trying to push through? You're just trying to do it on your own, just trying to find your own way, go it alone, because you think that somehow that's more spiritual when God is leading you to understand your weakness so that you would know him more rather than trying to trust yourself more? Like, repent. Admit your need and look to God. Where are you looking for your help this morning? As you think through this, if you were to ask, like, in the feelings that you've had this week, in the insecurities, where have you gone for comfort, Like, are you just going to distraction, to another Netflix show? Or are you going to alcohol? Or are you going to relationships? Are you going to pornography? Like, where are you going to look for help? Like, these songs are meant to call us to say, Lord, I lift my eyes up to the hill. Where does my help come from? Where does your help come from? I pray that this song, and these songs are meant to be like rhythms, disciplines, themes that go along with us, that we would cry out to ourselves and to one another, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And then together the church sings his help, like it comes from the Lord. This is where it comes from. He is sufficient. He will not let your foot. The Lord is your keeper. It is reinforcing and encouraging the weary traveler of faith. Where are you looking for your help? And the call is simple. Look to Jesus, because it is in him that all of these characteristics are ultimately fulfilled. That Jesus is our powerful, powerful guardian. Maker of heaven and earth. Colossians 1 says that it was for by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. That Christ is our powerful, powerful guardian. That he is our watchful guardian. And in Matthew 28, after he said, go into all the world, right? Preach to all peoples, proclaim the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all that I have commanded. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That he is the one who watches over us. That he is our protection. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 says that, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. That he is the one who keeps us. Hebrews 7 says that Jesus is our persevering guardian, that consequently Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. That he keeps us. He holds us. And so where are you looking in your need? I want to lead us in a time of communion. Can you... And as we talked about last week, that really in this first part, a time of confession. I don't want to just say these words and then let's just move on and sing a song and close. Like, my prayer is that God would use his word to actually bring about conviction and transformation in our lives. Like, are you in pride trying to just do it all yourself? Repent. Are you looking to other things as your hope rather than Christ? Repent. And so in this moment, what do you need to confess before God? Do you need to confess your self-sufficiency? Do you need to confess where you're looking for comfort and your hope? And I want to just give a moment of silence for the Holy Spirit to search your heart. And I want to encourage you to confess that before the Lord now. Lord, I confess, I know in my own heart, I would rather help others than receive help, which is just another means of pride. Lord, that there's something in me, even as a man, that makes it feel strong and capable to just do it on my own. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I ask your forgiveness. You've created us for community, and I don't
always want to acknowledge that. Lord, I pray that you would, in your mercy, bring us to the end of ourselves when we lift our eyes from our circumstances and we cry out for help. Lord, and we look to you, maker of heaven and earth. We look to you and you alone as our hope and as our redemption. And in Jesus' name, amen. Confession leads to celebration. Repentance leads to rejoicing. Because he who is faithful to confess his sins will be forgiven, right? Like as we confess, as we repent, we are made new. And that is possible because of Jesus Christ. And so if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to grab the elements that are on the table in front of you as we celebrate the Lord's table this morning. If you have not placed your faith and trust in Jesus, I want to encourage you, do not partake in these elements. This is an act of worship for those who are following Jesus. But I do want to invite you to use this time to pray. Ask one of the people here, like, why is it that their hope is in Jesus? But for those who have placed their faith and hope in Christ, this is what leads us from repentance to rejoicing. This is what we remember, that Christ is our watchful, persevering, powerful guardian. And so if you will, remove the film from the top. And grab the bread. Because it was at the Last Supper when Jesus gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body broken for you, to do this in remembrance of me, that our guardian God laid down his life, that we may be free, purchased, redeemed." Let's partake together. After the disciples had finished eating, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he said that this cup was his blood, that was the new covenant in which we have hope, that he bore the wrath we deserved so that we might be free. It was through his perfect life, the death on the cross and his resurrection, that we are saved. And whenever we do this together, we are remembering his life, death, resurrection, and return. Let's partake together. Lord, I thank you that in our brokenness, in our repentance, we can cry out for help and you draw near. Lord, in your power, it is not set against us in anger, but because of Jesus Christ, you move toward us with mercy and with love, that we find comfort in your arms. We find safety. Lord, that we can place our full trust and hope on you in our deepest and darkest of needs. Lord, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue worshiping together.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.